Hey, glad to have you all here today and looking forward to Christmas in just a couple of weeks. The power of an invitation never ceases to amaze me. Like when I'll have people say, how did you end up coming to Jesus? And they'll go, well, someone invited me to an Easter service or a Christmas Eve service or do this halftime event with the Browns, and it started a journey for me. So we want to make it as easy as possible for you. So as you walk out the front doors today, there's these packs of cards. You can either take a pack of five or just individual ones. You can put them in Christmas cards or, you know, if you're sending locally, you hand them to a colleague or a neighbor, or whatever the case may be. But take some of those with you and let's see what Jesus does this holiday, all right? Glad to have you here today. There's a book that a number of people here at Grace have been talking about. It's called Unoffendable. Anybody familiar with that book? It's a great book. I decided that I want to try to be unoffendable. So don't test me in that, okay? Poke me. Seriously, it's a book that it's got a great message to it. And I was struck by something that the author shared. He lived in a condo development with his family. And there's this pond in the middle of this series of condos. There's no fences. And here's what happened. Let me just read in his words. He said, everybody could pretty much see everybody else all the time. Everyone's sliding glass back doors faced everyone else's. Make sure you use your blinds at those times, right? He said, one evening, standing by the pond, I swear I'm not making this up, a man said, I've looked outside and I've seen your family. I've watched you. And when I see your family, I don't even know why, but I think about God. He said, I watch you outside and your wife and your son, and when you walk with your daughter, and I see how your wife makes people feel very welcome, it makes me think about God. I know that's strange. But maybe it shouldn't be strange, right? Do you have someone you know that when you hang out with them, you go, you know, when I'm with this person, I just feel like there's an aura. There's a joy. There's love. I like to be with them because I sense God. They make me feel valued. When I'm with you, I think about God. Don't you want to be that kind of a person? I want to be that kind of a person. And what we're going to do today is we're going to eavesdrop on a conversation that Jesus had with some of his first followers, where he talks about the pathway to experiencing the presence of God in that kind of way. And he tells them sort of that's what he wants for all of our lives. And before we look at the conversation, let's just get the context. It's in the last hours before Jesus dies, and he has this long conversation with his disciples, his first followers. He knew it was coming. He knew he was going to be betrayed and tortured and murdered, and he's just in his early 30s, and he knew how awful it would be for himself, but he also knew how crushingly devastating it would be for his followers. And so he gives them this message. You know, they cared about him and he loved them. And so he gives this compelling message of kindness and hope and assurance. And he talks about their future and he talks about their present and the hope that they could have that sorrow and anxiety did not need to win in the end. And he talks about a gift he's going to give them, a gift from the Father. And here's the great thing. What Jesus talks about is not only a gift for people who lived back then, it's a gift for us, for you and for me today. So let's take a look. John chapter 14 is where we're turning, and we're looking at a situation that really happened in a real place with real people. By the way, if you've been in our Bible reading plan this year, it's called From the Beginning to the Amen. And it's from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. Actually, John 14 is one of our chapters we're reading today. This is, the time. And so we're starting a new plan in January. If you're I've thought about getting into a Bible reading plan, we're going to announce one next week that starts January 1st. It's free. It's a great plan. And it's just going to be 3 months. So if you're wondering, I don't know if I can commit to a whole year, it might be overwhelming. would you do 90 days with us? Let me just say a quick word. To try to grow in your relationship with Jesus without meeting him in the Bible is sort of like having a plant and saying, let me see how that thing does without watering it. Like, it ain't gonna happen, right? And it might look good for a while, but eventually there begins to be like the roots just aren't getting what they need. So we really want like to not only be looking into God's word on like in services like this and our Bible study, but for you to be personally saying, I meet with Jesus in the Bible like I go to a coffee shop. Like this is, I'm getting to know him better. Anyhow, notes were on the way in at the tables. If you missed those, just gracecma.org. You'll see on our homepage there's some notes. We have an app that we upload resources to help dig in a little bit more every Monday. And for those of you who are engaging online, really glad to have you with us. Guys at Lorain Correctional, welcome to you. We're gonna be showing some of your testimonies today. I'm really excited about that. And others of you from different, you know, states, countries, wherever, some of you send in messages, let me know you're tuning in. We love you and we wish you God's peace in this Christmas season. In these weeks leading up to Christmas, we've been talking about who Jesus is and how he's not just like the reason for the season and we celebrate someone who lived a long time ago, but how he really wants to transform my life and your life like today. He wants us to know him, and that it's really the most important decisions we'll ever make is how do we respond to Jesus? My dad, about 2 years before he died, 10 years ago, my dad made a comment that I've often come back to, and he said this. In fact, would you just read this aloud with me? Can we say it together? If I'm right with God, nothing can really be wrong with me. If I'm wrong with God, nothing can really be right with me. There is not a more important decision you will make in this life than how Jesus, what kind of place he'll have in your life. We saw, first of all, last week that he is our Savior. A great message by Pastor Kareem. And what a Savior Jesus is, that he gives us a new start, like total forgiveness of our past, adoption into a family that's gonna be forever, and a home in heaven that is an absolute guarantee. And we belong to him. Like there's nothing more important than that, that you put your trust in Jesus and that he's your Savior. But not only is he our Savior, he's also our sanctifier, our healer, and our coming king. Some call it the fourfold gospel. And what it means is this, that Jesus is not just for our yesterdays, like the shame and the things we've done wrong. He is also for all of our todays and all of our, what? Our tomorrows, right? And you might go, Jonathan, todays is not a word. I made up a word today, and it's gonna show up in Wordle here soon, although it's six letters, so it's not gonna work. To say that Jesus is our sanctifier, you might go, I don't really use that word. I don't know what that means. Simply put, Jesus wants to come into my life, not only to forgive me, but to make me more like him. He wants to be like that family in the book of Unoffendable, that neighbors and colleagues and others go, I don't know what it is, but there's something about you that I like. Like I see something that makes me wonder. And that's what we want to experience. And so let's see, what does it look like for Jesus to be our sanctifier? And we're checking in here in John 14 again. He's with his disciples. They're having this dinner in Jerusalem. It's just 24 hours before the crucifixion. Jesus says, I'm going to die. They're like crushed. And they're like, you're leaving? And so Jesus wants to reassure them. And here's what he says. He repeats the phrase twice in this chapter. And here's what he says, starting in John 14, verse 1. He says, do not let your hearts be what? Troubled. What he's saying is this. Anxiety does not need to be what wins the day. Even in the face of death, you don't have to let your heart be overwhelmed with sorrow. You grieve, but you grieve differently when you know the promises of Jesus. It's a phrase that he uses twice in this chapter that, like, do not let your hearts be troubled. And it's because he wanted to really get across to his followers that while he was no longer going to be with them, he doesn't say like, oh, guys, time out, I'm not going to be leaving. He goes, no, I'm going to die and I'm no longer going to be visible with you. I'm not going to be with you in the same way. But he wants them to know that he's actually still going to be with them in a different way, and it's actually going to be better, and so they don't have to give up or give in. And here's what he says in verse 27. He repeats that phrase again. The last sentence of verse 27, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Here's why. Not only is Jesus our Savior through his death, today he is our sanctifier through his life. Let's dig in here and we'll see what he means. Chapter 14, verse 15 to 23. Verse 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you for how long? Forever, right? Forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be where? In you. I will not leave you as orphans. You know, he's giving him, you hear him? He's giving him reassurance. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, like briefly after his resurrection. Because I live, you also will live. Verse 20, on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. And drop down to verse 23. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Did you catch that last phrase there? It's pretty remarkable. He says that he will actually make his home in us, like in you and me. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, it's like the greatest transaction ever in the history of humanity, that God himself would come to live within me and within you if you receive him. Let me just ponder that for a moment. To think that the God of the universe, the one who has always been and always will be, who has no beginning and no end, is the same God who says, I'm going to make my home in you. The same God who created everything. Like he made all the natural beauty we see, including you. And he had you in his heart at the very beginning of creation, is the one who wants to live in you. The one who in this crazy world, you know, where we see another regime falls early this morning in Syria and other kind of things, and some of you have family members there and our hearts ache about, we don't, you know, what's the future gonna hold? We know that the one who writes the final chapter of history, and it's gonna be a really, really good chapter, that same God says, I want to live in you. He wants to be your sanctifier. When you receive him, you love him, you follow his way, he loves you more than you'll ever know, and he says, I want to make my home in you. You know, there's an interesting connection here in this chapter. The word home in verse 23, when he says, my Father and I, by the Holy Spirit, will come and make our home in you, is the same word back in verse 2 when Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's what? House, the word home, it's the same word. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I'm going to there to prepare a place for you. In other words, I'm going to prepare this home for you that's going to be eternal forever. But he says, but right now, it's, if you go to verse 23, it's the same word in the original language Greek. He says, today, my Father and I are going to come by the Holy Spirit and make our home where? In you. Just as surely as heaven is one day going to be our home, he goes, today, you are God's home. A guest speaker at Grace years ago when I was a teenager back like in the 1930s, you know, his name was Major Ian Thomas, and he put it this way. He said, Jesus did not come from heaven to earth to get just to get us out of hell and into heaven, though he's the only one who can do that. He also came to get himself out of heaven and into us. Like, that was God's heart, Christ living in me. And the rest of the New Testament just talks about this like, wow, like it's a treasure, like in 2 Corinthians 4, we have this treasure in jars of clay. In other words, we're sort of these, you know, I'm growing old, kind of like, and where we have weak bodies, but he says, you got a treasure inside of you, you've got Jesus. He talks about glorious riches of Christ in you, the hope of glory. I read a true story about a family who gathered around the bedside of their aunt because she was very near death and wanted her to not be alone in that moment. She was a strong Christian and she was slipping away. She just had hours left. One of the things that you realize, by the way, if you've been, you know, with someone as they're dying, it's a sacred moment, is that the last sense of the person's senses to go is which sense? Anybody know? That's right, your sense of hearing. So they always tell us, like even as a pastor, they go, don't just assume that they hear everything you say, even if they can't respond. Well, someone didn't get that message in this true story here. And so they think she's unconscious and she can't, you know, she's gone. And the one person just by her bedside goes, man, it's really a shame about, Aunt, you know, Evelyn. She's had such a hard life. She lost one husband. She got remarried. She lost that husband. She's had tons of illness. And on top of that, she was like incredibly poor. And suddenly she opens her eyes and she looks around and she said, who calls me poor? I am rich, spiritually rich, and I will one day stand before the Lord as bold as a lion. And shortly thereafter, she closed her eyes and she died. But there's a woman who knew her glorious riches, right? That in Christ, she not only had a Savior and forgiveness, she had the Holy Spirit who came to live. She was the very home of God, and he would walk with her through the valley of the shadow of death and take her all the way to heaven's door. She was adopted into God's family. She had all the riches of Jesus belonged to her. She didn't look like it in this world, but trust me, if you have the riches of Christ, you have more than anybody that you sort of dream about or attempted to be envious about on television and go, wow, now that would be an incredible way to live. Friends, if you have Jesus, you have the greatest treasure you could ever imagine. You have the Holy Spirit of God living within you. He doesn't just want to come in, though. You could say that the Holy Spirit, to be sanctifier, means he's in the remodeling business. So from God's perspective, my life, anyhow, without Jesus, looks a little bit like this right here. We'll get up there. And no offense, but your life does too. You might look great on the outside to other people, but the way that God diagnoses us, we have sin and shame and brokenness and regrets. So what does he do as a sanctifier? He comes in, he might pull up a dumpster. We gotta get rid of some things from our lives that need to go, right? Some habits, some things from our past. And then he begins to fix what's broken and restore, and he does all kinds of restoration so that we can become the people that he always intended for us to be. And you've seen those pictures of before and after, like that right there. And you go, wow, that's what it was like before, same room. And you can go, I have the Holy Spirit in my life. What he wants to do is to take you from the left to the right. He wants to do something in your life where you become the person he always intended for you to be, that you become usable for his purposes. You've seen people like that. You go, wow, I knew them before and I see them after. They're a different person. That's what it means to be sanctified. Jesus is not only our Savior, he's our sanctifier. And that's his promise here for everyone who trusts in him. So let me ask a question. The first two ones we're looking at right now. Have you invited Jesus to come into your life as your Savior? I mean, it's a free gift that you don't have to earn it. You can't deserve it. You'll never be good enough, but you say, Jesus, I am a broken person. I'll never be good enough to be part of your family, but Jesus, you died for me. You rose again. I put my trust in you. I want you to be my Savior. Have you taken that step? There are people every week at Grace who have not taken that step. You might be one of them. And today, that's going to be your first step, is to say, Jesus, I need you to be my Savior. That's the only way to get into his family, the only way to get to heaven. That first home he talks about, like, I'm going to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many rooms. You want to be part of that someday? You have to accept Jesus as your Savior. But it goes beyond that. Can you also call Jesus your sanctifier? Have you taken the step of welcoming his Holy Spirit to lead you in every area of your life, to do a work of remodeling and restoring in you? You see, he doesn't want to just come into my life to forgive me of the past stuff, and then I just go on living the way I've always lived. He says, if you truly surrendered your life to me, I want to empower you and convict you and comfort you and shape you and make you more like Jesus, so that your life, people think about God when they spend enough time with you. If you've put your trust in Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit in your life. When you go out for lunch in a little bit, or wherever you're going for lunch, he's gonna be with you. Holy Spirit's gonna be with you. When you're watching a ball game later on, or doing homework, or hanging out with friends, the Holy Spirit is gonna be with you. When you go to work tomorrow, or school, or whatever assignment you have in this current season of your life, you're not leaving Jesus here at this facility right here, right? This is not the house of God. The house of God is you if you put your trust in Jesus. You're not leaving him at home. You're not leaving him here. He's going with you wherever you go, and he wants to be your sanctifier. He wants to shape you and mold you. And Jesus goes on here. I'll just give in bullet point form here, but Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is our daily companion who is with us forever. Like, he's with you every day. He's our guide to knowing Jesus and his truth better. If you're going, John, I'm really trying to understand this book, ask the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, as I dig in here, would you just open up my mind and my heart? Like, I want to know Jesus better. Would you help me in that? The Holy Spirit is our source of strength who empowers us to love Jesus through more consistent obedience. Those two things there, love and obedience, are inextricably linked in the Bible. Really, in any relationship, devotion and love and honoring someone go together. If you really love, say you love Jesus, you're gonna follow his ways, right? Those two go together. You can't say, I love him, and then you just do your own thing. If I tell my wife, if I say, Mary, I love you, you are like amazing, and then I do things that are completely offensive to her, and I go out and cheat her, or whatever I do, I can't really say I love her, right? If I love her, I'm gonna be inspired to do what honors my wife, and how much more the very one who saved my soul, who's come to make his home in me, and I say, Jesus, I love you, and I want your Holy Spirit to help me obey you in every area of my life. When we do that, we're following the example of Jesus. If you drop down to verse 31, listen to what Jesus, his own testimony, he says this, verse 31 of chapter 14, he says, the world must learn that I love the Father. I love my Heavenly Father, and that what? I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. You see how he connects those two things again? Jesus loved his Father and inspired him to follow his Father in every area. So here's the question for us. Does my love for Jesus inspire me, motivate me to follow him in every area of my life? That's what his Holy Spirit wants to do. Jesus, by his Spirit living within me, wants to be the sanctifier, the one who makes me holy, the one who makes me like him. Friends, if you've put your trust in Christ, you are the house of God. The person near you, if they've put their trust in Jesus, they are the house of God, and he doesn't want to just come in and be sort of this guest who's in the back room. He wants to come in and just renovate the whole house. He wants to be your sanctifier. I'd like us to hear a couple of testimonies right now of what that looks like from a few people who are part of our Grace Church family, brothers whom I've grown to love, and that not all of you have had the chance to interact with, because you might know that we have three campuses, plus a lot of people who are engaging online. We have Middleburg, we have Olmsted Falls, and we have Lorain Correctional. And welcome to all of you guys. And today, what we want to do, we went and we asked our brothers at Lorain, we asked four of them, we said, what does it mean for you that Jesus is your sanctifier? I was really moved by what you guys said, and I wanted you to hear it as well. Let's take a listen. Here it is.
I'm somewhat sorry to say, but I'm happy to say that I found Christ as my Lord and Savior in prison. And he came into my life and the change began. And I've been on a journey on this road to salvation and sanctification through his word. I've changed a lot of my old habits that I had.
When he told me who I am, when he freed me from sin, he gave me a new identity in him. And that's where I live from. So I live from the inside out now instead of from the outside in. That is where my identity is found, and that's where I find my freedom.
Jesus has been my sanctifier because he's made me holy and blameless. He's been my sanctifier because he delivered me from the penalty of sin.
Even since I've been a little kid, my mom, you know, I grew up in the church. My mom always told me who I was in Christ. Tried things out for myself and took the hard route. And I ended up here. And I knew that I had to make a change. This wasn't what I wanted for my life. This was a definite point to where I knew something had to change, because this is not what I wanted.
In here, we have a lot of disappointments, heartaches, headaches. But I've learned through Christ who strengthened me, I'm able to endure whatever it is that I'm going through.
One of the things that he's been working with me on is patience. Because there's a guy in a hole right now, and most of the institution know this guy. And this guy, I was showing the love of Christ. I mean, we was reading the word together. We was even working out together. And it was like, all of a sudden, because I forgot in a moment, because I told him, I promised him a food tray. And I forgot about it because I was doing so much. The next day, the guy said, man, do you know what happens to a guy that doesn't keep his promise? And he tried to spit on me. It took all of the Holy Spirit's strength to stop me from going after this guy. One of the officers down there told me that he was like, man, the way you handled that, you showed me how to handle these situations better.
When I got married, it just taught me a whole different part of Jesus' love for me, because now I was to distribute that love to my wife, to treat her as he treats me.
My mom always used to pray over me and speak over my life and tell me that I was going to be a man of God, a pastor, and here I am today, just walking out what she spoke over my life as a young boy.
He's been working on me in so many ways, though. It's just like, he's my sanctifier in so many ways. He's been working on me in so many ways that, I can't even explain them all.
Isn't that great? Wow. You can watch the full testimonies. They'll be uploaded in a couple of days. They'll be on our YouTube channel. It's like 4 to 5 minutes for each guy. You want to watch them. Guys, you did a great job on those. And thank you, thank you. Jesus is our sanctifier. That's what he wants to be, intends to be for all of us. See what Reggie, I think it was Reggie who had the wristband on that said, you got it. You saw it. In progress, right? That he's shaping, he's molding, he's making me to be the kind of person. Friends, just having the Holy Spirit in your life is not the only question. A lot of people have the Spirit of Jesus in their life. You go, I see no significant difference between their life and someone who doesn't know Jesus at all. We want there to be clear evidence that God himself lives within us. Remember the story from Unoffendable? That someone's watching and they go, there's something about you. I've even been watching you from afar, and the way you treat each other and love outsiders and you welcome them in. I think about God. You might go, man, It's just so hard. I would disagree. I would say it's not hard. It's actually impossible. You can't live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit active and welcome inside you is like having a cell phone without a battery or a car without gas. It looks on the outside like anything else, but you go, it just isn't going to fulfill its purpose, right? Unless you have the power that it always was intended to have. You and I have the power of the Holy Spirit who comes to live within us. Without him, I cannot fulfill the purpose that God has for me. So here's where you and I have a choice. Let me point out two verses here, and then we'll take inventory of our relationship with Christ. First verse is here in verse 23 of John chapter 14, where Jesus says, if we love him and obey him, that he's welcome in our lives. He's welcome. That last phrase of verse 23, my Father and I will come to them and make our home with them. Is God at home? Is he welcomed in your life? That's one option. Or the second one, you don't have to turn there, but Ephesians chapter 4, listen to this one phrase. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way that you live. That's sobering, isn't it? That by the choices that I make, the decisions, the way I treat people, that I can either allow the Spirit of God to be welcome in my life, or I can bring sorrow and sadness to his heart. So here's the question as we take inventory. Is Jesus the sanctifier welcome at home in my life, or do I bring him sorrow by the decisions that I make? How about for you? You might go, Jonathan, I want him to be welcome in my life. I want more of the influence of the Holy Spirit in my life. Like, how do I do that? One last verse here I want us to look at. Several chapters back, John chapter 7. Let's look at this and we'll close. Jesus is speaking to a huge crowd of people, and he makes an incredible invitation to all of us to experience the Holy Spirit's influence and activity in our lives. Here's what he says, John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the festival, there's thousands of people gathered, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone, how many people? Anyone, by anyone, you know what it means in the Greek? It actually means anyone is what it means there. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, this picture, I love it, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this, he meant the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. In other words, he hadn't gone to heaven yet. Friends, that's powerful, isn't it? That we don't just receive the Spirit of God into our lives and it's like, this is great. I get to enjoy God's presence in my life. It's meant so that he comes into my life and then his life, what? Flows through me. Like there's an overflow of my life, rivers of living water, like in a dry and weary land that people go, wow, when I'm with you, it's like I there's something really cool about being. Friends, if we want more of the Holy Spirit in our lives, Jesus gives one question here, and it's simply this, are you thirsty for more? Are you thirsty? That's what he says. If you're thirsty, he says, come to me, find your sense of purpose and meaning and life in me, and you'll see the Holy Spirit at work in your life. So here's the question. Are you thirsty today? You might go, honestly, I'm not really sure. I'm thirsty. That's okay. He already knows that. And what you can do is just start there and say, Jesus, I want you to make me more thirsty for you. I don't want to be satisfied with only what this life offers and whether my team does great or not, or my job or promotion, what kind of bonus I'm going to get. Jesus, I want to be more thirsty for you. And friends, when you do that, here's what he says. You're going to experience more of his Holy Spirit at work in your life. Is that your heart? Do you want more of the Holy Spirit's activity in your life? If you want Jesus to be welcome in your life, you go, I don't want to just believe in the Holy Spirit. I want to experience the life of the Holy Spirit. I want him to shape me. I want him to empower me. I want him to flow through me. I want rivers of living water to come from my life to bless the people around me. Let's ask him to make us more thirsty. And just invite him to have his way in us. So I'm going to lead us in a prayer right now. And it's a prayer I'm praying for myself. And I would like to invite you to pray it along with me as I pray. It's on the back of your notes because it'd be something to come to the days ahead to go, Lord, this is what I want in my life, is for you to have your rightful place in me. So let's just talk to him together. He's here. Do you believe that? He's here. He's listening to us. Let's pray. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to fill me. I want you to be at home in me, to lead me in every area of my life. You just pray this with me. Quietly, help me to love Jesus and reflect him more. Point out anything in my life that needs to change. And strengthen me as I get rid of whatever threatens my relationship with you. Holy Spirit, I invite you to lead me and empower me today. With your help, I will obey you in every area, yielding to your direction and promptings. Use me to make a difference for others. And thank you for always being with me. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. He's going to answer that prayer. He really wants to have his rightful place in you. Let's stand together. Let's sing this as a prayer. If it would help you, you know, the front is always open. If you would just think, I want to sort of drive a stake in the ground. Like, I really want the Spirit of God to know that this is what I want in my life. I want to make a decision today that is going to last. You feel free to come to the front here and just spend some time with Jesus as we sing together. Okay? Thanks.